Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Mental well-being in the teenage years has a major impact on adult mental health. In just over 30 minutes, where do we go from here? Broadcast live from SDPB's Black Hill Studio. The topic today, at risk or in transition, understanding and cultivating mental wellness in teens. The panelists include host Chuck Parkinson and Dr. Justine Ashoker. She's director of clinical services at the Brain Injury Rehabilitation Center, Black Hills Works. Where Do We Go From Here is webcast. It can be seen online at watch.sdpb.org. That's 1 Central 12 Mountain today. And our guests join us from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio now. Dr. Ashoker, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Chuck Parkinson, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure, Lori.
So, Chuck, this is a major project for South Dakota Public Broadcasting called Before It Gets Better, and all of us are looking at different elements of mental health. This is a topic you've talked about before as far as mental health services and resources in the Black Hills, and now looking at adolescents and sort of what adults are doing to help provide that mental well-being. Tell me why this topic now.
Well, Lori, when we did our program back in May, we learned a lot, and we were more than happy to join with STBB in this discussion this month. And one of the things that kind of made us, that Suzanne and I decided this would be a good topic to draw on, was shortly after we agreed to join in the process, the report came out that South Dakota has the highest suicide rate per capita in the nation, and a large number of those are teens. We've been afflicted here in Rapid City in recent years with a number of teenage suicides. The reservations in the West River suffer the same kinds of problems, and we just thought this is something that, you know, often gets pushed to the back if it doesn't directly impact you or your family, but we need to make more public awareness of this issue, and we need to address the issue and come to grips with the fact that these are issues that affect all of us as a community, and it reflects on us as who we are as a community. And I think that's the thing that really drove us to this idea.
Dr. Ashoker, talk a little bit about, you know, Chuck mentioned the suicide rate. As parents and educators of teenagers, What is the impact of that, you know, lifelong for friends, for families? Let's talk a little bit about that. That's not, the ripple effects of that are just almost hard to put into words.
Yes, it is for the parents, the family members, and the friends who have lost. It's a loss that is so profound that stays with them for the rest of their lives. And as we know, adolescence is a critical period for mental, social, emotional well-being and development. During this time, the brain undergoes significant neural changes. It establishes pathways and behavior patterns. So some of the challenges as parents and teachers and family members and friends, we are here gathered to discuss what we can do to make changes so this rate goes down.
Do you think kids, Dr. Ashoker, understand their own mental well-being as well, and are sort of, you know, searching for ways to either connect with resources, support one another? They get this. They get the problem that's, you know, from suicide prevention to just managing the stress of applying for college or, you know, transitioning to high school. They get it.
Yes, they do. And I believe that one of the number one concerns for young teenagers is a sense of belonging. And when they know that they're not able to turn to anybody when they are in the deepest throes of depression or anxiety or the changes that they can be going through either due to stress at work, I mean at school or in the home settings, that would be key things to be looking at. They do understand, but if they know that they have people that they can turn to for these kinds of situations, I think that would be the first step.
Chuck, I'm not so sure that we have created a society that makes that easy for teenagers to sort of manage their mental well-being. I have a teenager, and they're you know, she enjoys school. There's lots, but when I look at the pressure that's on them to perform in athletics, to find jobs, to get into, you know, what happens after high school, the workforce, higher education, student debt. It's a tough time to be a young adult.
It is indeed, and the peer pressures that go along with that as well are one of those things that's a big issue. Having survived raising two teenagers not that long ago, and every year it seems it becomes more complex as we have more social media, as we become more technologically involved every day, the types of things that are there, and as you indicated, the stress for applying to college if you choose to go that route, the other stresses that go along with that, and I think one of the things that we need to come to grips with is the question of what is normal. You know, is normal today the same as the normal when I was a kid or when you were young at this right. particular age? How do we differentiate that, and how do we fit into asking ourselves, how do we make a normal situation for someone? Because I'm not even sure we know what normal is.
Mm. Dr. Ashokar, how much does mental wellness in your adolescent years play out in your adult years? Just is it about brain development? Is it about developing coping skills? And how do we look at the adults around us and sort of see the residue of those teenage years?
It's a combination of brain development as well as coping skills, as well as social support. In the 1990s, there were many experiments done with teenagers and neuroimaging to find out that their brain is still in the developing phases, whereas early on they believed that by age 6 your brain was developed. But now they find that there's more pruning going on in the brain, where there's myelination of the brain as well, and it starts from the back of the brain to the front of the brain, which is the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex is our decision-making, executive functioning, problem-solving, self-control activities take place. So if that part is not yet developed till the teenagers are about age 23, 25, then they do need some outside help, because they're still learning to work on those patterns, and they build those experiences and they learn from those experiences. And this is where parents and teachers and other family members can bring in their support system and help them understand in a non-judgmental way, and to also remember that the social norms of past generations are different in the challenges of present day, where we have social media and other things, but to have that non-judgmental acceptance at the same time and to provide the resources, I think, will go a long way.
Talk about the genetic component as well. So if a family has a history of depression or bipolar or OCD, mm-hmm. PTSD, trauma, mm-hmm. talk about how that is passed down and shared in families.
It is passed down and it is shared in families, but also the important thing to remember is that our brain is neuroplastic. What means is our brain changes and reorganizes in response to the challenges that are presented to the brain. Awareness, knowledge, and support system go a long way in helping to manage these symptoms and see what supports are available to help them not recreate the same situations. It can be hard without the support systems.
And how fast is the research changing on this? I know tomorrow on the program, Kara Hetland, who's the host of Innovation, is bringing a study that's coming out of the University of South Dakota about genetics and gut microbiomes and PTSD. Mm-hmm. So fascinating stuff. How much research is being done in looking at some of those? Because you think, you know, a trauma can cause PTSD in everybody, but it doesn't. Some people are more prone to sort of developing symptoms. We're learning so much so fast, not fast enough. What are your thoughts?
Yes, we are learning fast because we have the technology that has advanced so much. We can see inside a person's brain in some ways. In my opinion, I believe it all boils down to relationship. The structure and the function of the brain, they're all very good to know to help us understand how these behaviors are manifested in a person and what we can do as an individual and how we change and how we evolve. And I still believe that relationships with key family members and parents or friends or other people in the society can help work with these kind of difficult situations that a teenager can undergo. Mm.
And Chuck, you talked about raising teenagers of your own, and thinking back to when you were a kid, some of these things are things that were not, that we didn't talk about when, you know, we were teenagers. Nobody really, I can't remember anybody talking about a lot of this stuff. Is it hard for the adults in the room to sort of learn the language that the kids in the room and in the home and in the school really need to hear?
I really think it is, Lori. It's a situation where things change so fast, and the terminology that's being used by the kids often has one meaning for them and a significantly different meaning for us. And I think just that communication skill, which is so necessary to be able to talk to your kids. And I know that's one of the things that's probably one of the most difficult things that parents have to deal with, is that they're under strain, there's pressure, there's all kinds of things that are going along with adults. But to just spend some time with your kids makes a huge amount of difference, because that communication level, I think, goes a long way to at least understanding each other.